Welcome back to Answer That, everybody. I jumped in there a little quick, didn't I, Swan?
You jumped right on top of put a lid on it. You really did put a lid on it, Sally.
I certainly did. And what is Arts About again, Swanee?
It's the show about art that's a work of art in itself.
Yes, I
remembered that from memory.
Yeah, that's very good. That's very good. And, of course, Arts About is brought to you by the generosity of the McClelland Sculpture Gallery and Park. McClelland Sculpture Park and Gallery, I should say.
Yes, and the great big sign on the wall says Bendigo Bank.
That's indeed it does. Welcome, everybody. Hope you've had a lovely Easter and enjoyed yourself over the holidays. Yes, John's still a no-show. He hasn't come back.
Well, Easter was last week, of course, and yeah, now we're sort of back into the grind.
Yeah.
Well, not me.
No. You do not grind, Swan.
No, we have been talking a bit about the art of the slow. And I believe over Easter you had a particularly different religious experience, Sally.
I did indeed. I did. I have had Shaman on our property this over Easter building a sweat lodge. I participated in the sweat lodge.
Did they just sort of wander onto the property or did you?
No, funnily enough, friend of the show, John Paul Fishbach, creative director of Auspicious Arts Incubator, is also a long-time shaman.
And I had the good fortune of meeting John Paul, and apparently he's a secret shaman because we didn't really know until quite recently.
No, but I did ask him and he said he was very happy that I let you know that we do know now.
Yeah, but he's the point I'm making, he's not one of these sort of boastful, ostentatious kind of
no,
pushy type religious, shaman-y, hippie, whatever you call it.
No. And apparently he has been practicing shamanism, if that's what you call it, for close to 30 years. All yes, over America with so many different tribes. It's rather extraordinary.
Yeah, First Nation. And he is actually a First Nation person himself. Do you know about the time? Oh, I can't remember what it's called now. A Playing for Change phenomenon.
Yes.
Where all different artists from all over the world play the same songs and then they mix it down and they get the best of the bunch and they film them doing it.
Yes.
And the Stand By Me version.
Yes.
That starts off with some old muddy blues dude in the middle of New Orleans or something. In one of the phrases, they switch to this beautiful kind of circle of First Nation Indians, and they're playing these things called thunder drums, and they're these enormous drums.
And thunder drums.
On such a song as Stand By Me, when these great thumping drums come in and they're all in their war bonnets, it just...
We should play that one day. I'd
quite
like to hear
that. Puts a chill down your spine. What's on the show, Sally?
We have. Well, earlier on in the week, I got a chance to talk with Emma Coulter, and she won the Linda New Art Prize with one of her pieces, so she's going to talk to us about that. That's a really significant prize. And also, I'm going to have a chat with Margaret Koenig, and she is the creative director and... of Art Town, which takes place, it's already started actually, it started yesterday in Paran.
Come on, it's an down interactive to the Art Town.
Yes, yep. We have a map here, Swanee, have a look.
I know.
It's all over the streets of Paran.
Wait a sec. No, look, I can't fold it back. All right, now, yes, I'm standing by for Margaret's call.
Yes, indeed. We get to see all about a whole lot of artists. I think up to 90 artists are exhibiting their work, performing their work, and interacting with locals.
So counting
that sounds really
people.
Exciting, yes.
90.
Cliff, of course, is coming in, so he'll have something to say. And look, I could have played a Native American shaman track for you today, but instead I thought you'd probably razz me if I did that. So
No, I'm into the thunder drum.
Instead, how about this? This is a track from a lady called Ala Nee, and she's a London-born artist, singer-songwriter from London. She has Grenadian parents, and she's been the backing singer to Andrea Bocelli, Mary Bilge and Damon Albarn. She describes herself as Black Disney, and she has a little bit of the Billie Holiday about her. See what you think. Here's a track called Darkness at Noon from an EP called Autumn.
Let's hear some of that Black Disney.
The Linda New Art Gallery in Ackland Street, St Kilda, offers an annual non-acquisitive contemporary art award, established for artists graduating from a master's degree or PhD in the previous year. And the big $10,000 prize was won this year by Emma Coulter for her Spatial Deconstruction No. 15, 2015. Emma has exhibited both nationally and internationally and holds a Master of Contemporary Art from the Victorian College of the Arts, a Bachelor of Visual Arts and a Bachelor of Built Environment from the Queensland University of Technology. Her practice uses painting to investigate, transform and alter environments and to challenge our perceptions. Space and spatial development are central to her work, and the intersection of her two-dimensional images on a three-dimensional surface invites us to question what we know of the world and how we perceive it. Good morning, Emma Coulter. Thanks for coming on to Arts About and congratulations on your win.
Hi, Sally. Thank you very much. Thanks for that wonderful introduction there and thanks for having me on the show.
It's great. With your work, Emma, are you messing with our heads?
Look, I'm questioning a number of things, I suppose. I'm not deliberately messing with your head. No, I'm looking at the history of art and the tradition of painting and the idea of space in painting has been something that's always existed, and it's something that I guess artists have aspired to create three-dimensional space in the picture plane of a two-dimensional painting.
Yeah.
So I'm actually doing the opposite here. I'm actually kind of working in three-dimensional space and actually kind of twisting the perception of that space. So I'm actually taking that painting right out of the canvas and like putting it in real space in three dimensions, I guess.
Yeah. If I were being simplistic, to describe it to our listeners, I would say that your winning work looks a little bit like the refracted light from a prism being projected across a surface in a room.
Yeah. Well, that's not a bad analogy. Right. Yeah, it is, I guess, throughout my master's, so I guess I had a two-dimensional painting practice, and it's moved into a three-dimensional painting and installation sculpture practice. So that was actually really the project of my master's, to explore space in conjunction with painting. And I started creating these works, which I call spatial deconstruction. So I'm actually working with a restricted colour palette of 7 colours.
Mm-hmm.
And I've sort of used those as a tool. So I'm not reinventing the colours each time, but I'm working with these colours. Sometimes I don't use all of them. Sometimes I might use only this more limited palette. But I'm choosing from within these colours, and then they became site-specific installations within the spaces that I'm working within. So they're ephemeral works. They only exist in that time and place within that space. I guess it's challenging a few things too. I mean, that idea of ephemerality, I mean, that's existed a long time in art.
Sorry,
really,
lost you there for a second. That idea
is that better?
Yeah, that's
better.
That
idea of ephemerality.
Ah,
so
yes.
So something that can challenge people's perception as well. That idea that the object doesn't exist as a material object, forever, I suppose, as well. I mean, it could, I suppose, if it was never removed, but that's not really the case a lot of the time.
One of my favourite films is a John Carpenter film. It was his very first film. In fact, it was a school graduation film called Dark Star, in which an argumentative bomb that is unable to detach itself from the spaceship is taught phenomenology by the captain in an attempt to prevent it from blowing itself up and themselves. And the captain suggesting to the bomb that its mechanism for analysing and perceiving the world is faulty. We can only observe things through the paradigm of our perceptions. Is that what you're getting to?
I guess it's just throwing a number of things up in the air, and also, I guess, art's always this kind of deeply intellectual pursuit. And I guess what I'm also doing, I feel, is maybe opening it up to people as well, to just, got this very deep conceptual side to it, but there's an emotional side to it as well. But I'm inviting people to kind of, experience, I suppose, because you can't always wrap words around everything, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
So that idea of phenomenology, I think that's what you were talking about
there.
Well, it's sort of definitely inherent in the work, absolutely, yeah.
Because it's site-specific and you paint onto the surface of a location, it can't be moved or bought because it isn't a thing really, is it? Does that mean that you're limited to commissions?
Yeah, essentially in that way, for these works, yes, they would have to be commissioned for each site. So certainly you can't pick it up and buy it from that location. I guess this is one part of my practice. So I do paintings as well as sculptures. Essentially, these spatial deconstruction works, only exist in the time and space of that place. The parameters of space always dictate the size and the shape of the thing, because they're limited by the edge of the wall or, you know, yeah. certain architectural lines or cornice lines, delineation. So they're always dictated by the parameters of the space. So in some way, the space creates the work as well as me.
Yeah. Yes, I understand. Now, you've already been the recipient of quite a few Art and Excellence Awards in the past. The financial reward of this one is obvious, but in other ways, how do these prizes affect the practice of artists, and how do you imagine it's going to affect yours?
It really does make a difference. It means for me that I can use this money to further my work without having to supplement it with another income.
Yeah.
So it just means I can focus on my work for a longer period of time without having that financial worry, I suppose. So they really do make a difference. And particularly since process tailored mentoring means it's also, like, even more than the money, I think, in some ways, maybe, you know, that's going to help shape what I want to do. And for Lyndon to be able to hopefully put me in touch with the right people, and so it's the money combined with that will help me focus and just pushes me forward into doing what I want to do more and more, yeah. really. So
it's
I
great.
Think as an artist, you're on your own all the time, so having support is just so wonderful. Yeah.
And linking up with all the other artists too, I'm
exactly.
sure. Well, there were two other prizes, of course, with the major art prize at Lyndon.
That's
and there
right.
was the Board Encouragement Award of $2,000, and the winner of that was Simon Crosby for his piece Trauma, which
yes.
is an extraordinary piece of knitted fabric. And the Mars Award, which is a commercial gallery exhibition at Mars later in 2007, and that was Elizabeth Wallace with her beautiful Chai Mandala. They were, you know, all gorgeous pieces. Congratulations to both of those as well. The exhibition runs at the Lyndon New Art Gallery until, I think, it is the 1st of May. Is that right?
That's right, the 1st of May, yep.
And if you go onto the Lyndon New Arts website, they have links to the brochure for all the exhibits in that exhibition, but also to the individual artists, and of course yourself included, Emma. It's been wonderful talking to you today. Congratulations for this wonderful prize. I look forward to catching up on your work further on down the track. Thank you very much, Emma
Great.
Coulter.
Thanks, Sally. Thanks for your time. Great to have a chat about the work.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
And now it's time for John On. Well, good morning, John.
Morning, Swan, and presumably Sally's there as well.
I am, John, I am. How are you? Come back.
I'm on my way back. Yeah,
are
we're
going
to come down through Wagga Wagga.
Wagga Wagga?
Yeah, Wagga Wagga.
No. Oh, is that where you are now?
Sorry, I thought there was an echo.
No, we're still in Sydney. I'm talking to you via satellite from the apartment in Sydney.
Oh, you're still at the apartment.
Yeah. Sorry, John, I thought there was an echo on the line.
And I hope you're going to leave it in a nice state, because I'm going up there in a couple of days.
Okay.
Yeah. So well, put the lid on the muesli, won't you?
Yeah, last time she had soap in her eyes and she dried the soap with a pair of old Y fronts that was still on the radio.
Oh, come on now. This is an art show, everybody. What are we talking about? What have you been doing, John, while you're up there?
Well, apart from riding around on ferries, which
yes.
one does, and having a terrific time doing that, been having a Biennale up here, and as I said last week, we've been having a look at a bit of that, and part of that is at the MCA, they've got Grayson Perry on.
Yes.
Grayson Perry, of course, one of young British artists, a group of artists from England.
He's a ceramicist, isn't he?
Along with Damien Hirst and the girl, what's her name, Tracy Emin.
Tracy Emin, yes, who's just married a rock, I hear.
She married a rock.
Yeah, she's just married a rock.
Right.
Oh,
she...
that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Well, only you're going to take a rock to tolerate her bed.
I think she's tidied it up in the last 20 years.
Yeah. I wonder what... If somebody married Dwayne Johnson, they'd be marrying a rock, wouldn't they?
Mm.
Yeah.
No, that's Damien over my
Hirst
head.
Doesn't Sorry. Interest me all that much. I don't know about you.
No, no, but I am interested in Grayson Perry.
Grayson Perry is... quite remarkable, actually. And he's kind of what you get when you cross a very busy creative mind with hard work.
Wow.
He's, there's certainly a lot of stuff in this one show that he's got up in Sydney. And amount of work is just incredible. Going, running across ceramics and cast iron, cast brass.
Paint, of course.
Paint, yeah. There are prints and drawings and paintings. There are costumes that he's made and tapestries. And the tapestries are really quite fascinating. And apart from the fact that they're vast, you know, 15 metres long.
Wow.
So almost as long as the Bayeux tapestry.
And they refer to the Bayeux tapestry in small ways. They refer as much to the Bayeux tapestry as they do to William Morris and that sort of stuff.
Oh. Arts and craft.
Yeah. But they also have a kind of Robert Crumb look about them.
Yeah, that's because he's probably not a very good sewer.
Well, in fact, they're made on mechanical looms, and I gather they're made from drawings and then blown up onto massive tapestries via a mechanical loom and a computer. But they're marvellous. They are absolutely marvellous, and they're fun to look at. The allegory is very strong. There's a story running through the whole thing, which is pretty well a autobiographical story. It's called The Vanity of Small Differences, the set of tapestry.
Mm.
And it's about a hero of his, Tim Rakewell, as opposed to Tom Rakewell. You'd know Tom Rakewell, wouldn't you, Swan?
Yeah, I know all artists.
Not necessarily personally.
No,
well, Tom Rakewell was the character in A Rake's Progress.
Ah.
And from William Hogarth.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And in Perry's tapestries, we've got Tim Rakewell, which is also himself and his alter ego, Claire, because he likes the cross-dressing, Mr. Perry, and some of his cross-dressing costumes are in there, and some photographs of himself as Claire, or, as he points out, some photographs of Claire.
Yeah.
And the whole thing just blew my mind, frankly.
Oh, how exciting. Did you have a question, Swanee? He stuck his finger up at me, and so I'm not saying anything, but now he hasn't said anything.
I know that finger, that look at that finger in the air.
You know, I was just objecting to the antiquant expression, blew your mind.
Sorry. Yeah.
No,
well, I am in Sydney.
He's in Sydney.
They talk like that up here.
He's acclimatising,
they're way
Swanee.
Downtown. Hey, John.
Mm-hmm.
You know how you're on your way back?
Yep.
I hope you get here soon, because we're sick of fiddling with phones.
Right.
And we have to kind of wrap you up a little bit.
I'll be back by next week. I don't want to let the police know this necessarily, but I am coming down the Newell Highway instead of the Hume.
Okay.
After being chased up the coast by... Did you stick the police on me, Swan?
Yeah, I said he's
might
in,
have.
He's in a souped-up Viet Pop.
Right.
Hey, when we next meet, I'm going to have seen this exhibition too, John.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, I'm
well,
really excited
about that.
We can
talk about it.
Yeah, let's do that.
All right.
Sally, do not make the mistake of missing out on the shop, because as a result of Grace and Perry being such a wonderful producer of all sorts of things, there's all sorts of things in the shop afterwards.
Oh, fantastic. I love a good gallery
place
shop.
Gorgeous.
But he is just incredible, isn't he? Because he's just, I get what you mean about how prolific he is, because there's television shows and lectures.
Yeah.
And anyway, the whole thing. Yeah. All right, well, I'll talk about it. You and me will talk about it next week too. Swan is rolling his eyes.
Yeah, have a good one, John.
See you, Swan.
See ya.
Hey, great to talk
to you.
See you next week.
Hey, John, this is a great song for you, On the Road, on the Newell Highway. It's called...
Oh, fabulous.
It's called Love Train.
Love Train, okay.
See ya.
See ya, John.
Bye.
That was The 3 Degrees with Love Train, which happens to be my favourite song just at the moment.
No, it's my favourite song.
Is it, Swanee?
Yeah.
Now, for the seventh time in a row, An annual art town takes to the streets of Paran. Established in 2010 and proudly sponsored by the Chapel Street Precinct, Art Town is an art-making experience that sees artists working in public places all around Chapel Street over 2 weekends, the 2nd and the 3rd of April and the 9th and the 10th. So it's opened just yesterday. There'll be painters, sculptors, photographers, street artists and more all over the place, and a significant prize money involved as well. And so, to discover more, curator and artistic director Margaret Koenig is here on the line with us this morning. Good morning, Margaret.
Good morning, Sally. How are you doing?
Very good, thanks. Thanks for talking to us on Arts About.
Yes, good morning, Margaret. Good morning, Margaret. Swanee here, and yep. I've got your map right in front of me.
Oh, excellent.
I love that. It's radio with pictures.
Margaret, can you give us the basic synopsis of what Art Town is?
Well, Art Town is sort of got a simple basis. It's really about the artists getting out onto the streets and public spaces throughout Chapel Street and Greville Street precinct and creating an artwork, and the public get the very special opportunity to watch that artwork being created in real time.
You are the initiator of this event 7 years ago, aren't you?
That's correct, yes.
What did it come out of? How did that eventuate?
It actually came out of a conversation while we were planning another event in the Chapel Street precinct, and I think I'd mentioned this idea to Officer Seberg, who's the executive director there at Chapel Street precinct, and we started discussing it a little bit more, and he said he liked the idea. Could we get it up and running for the following autumn season? And I said yes. So it had a very small beginning. I think the first year there was probably about 34 artists involved.
Yeah, and quite a lot of artists to wrangle.
It was, but I think we ramped it up a few notches over the following few years, and then when we really, I think, really hit the stride of the event was when we produced this Art Town map that you were speaking about, Swanee. Last year. Thank you.
I'm just right here on the compass spot. I'm ready to start walking. It's like it's like in Harry Potter when the little dots go around.
It is. So now we have an actual program that people can follow. But I have to say, if they do pick up one of those maps or have a look at it online somewhere, there are a lot of artists who will be situated in between those map points. The map really only gives you a framework of the area and a bit of an idea of where to head to find something interesting going on.
So it's a minefield of art explosion as well. It's
kind
everywhere.
I'd call it a minefield of discovery as well, because some artists are very quiet. They're very good at tucking themselves into all sorts of places. So it's about a discovery experience as well, I think.
Yeah, well, let's hope people aren't sort of in a cul-de-sac gathered round an old man who's just muttering to himself, feeding pigeons, thinking it's an installation.
It could be.
It might be an installation, Swanee.
And it could be a performance piece.
Correct.
So I think you said to me before that close to 90 artists.
There are. That's correct. And we've got, as you said before, we've got pretty much every visual art medium. And just to give you an idea, really our winners last year were in fact a visual performance artist who did a roving performance and had a very, very good multimedia screen presentation produced at the end of it. They had a videographer and a photographer follow them around and record their interactions and their performance piece. And then put them very, very well edited. And yes, it was actually brilliant. So it just goes to show you the ideas of what art is, what it can be, are very, very broad. And it was super popular. Like, it was a public participation piece as well. And they had, like all of our public participation pieces, that's hard to say.
It is. There's a lot of P's in there.
The Melbourne public really embrace these things.
Because that's, in a way, that's the kernel of the idea, isn't it? Is that there is an interaction between the artist and the audience.
Absolutely. That is totally the ideal. And yet if it's a more sort of laid back, quiet thing, even the fact of watching and producing art while being watched is quite different to...
sitting alone quiet in your own studio.
As you would know, of course. And I think one of our artists sums it up and she says it feels more like a performance. And this is a painter talking. She talks about committing to a time and place, committing to a line that's made on the surface, committing to the people around you that are watching you, that are interested in what you're producing. And they're interested in what the artist sees. They want to know how the artist sees things. They want to know how the artist sees and follows their surroundings. They want to know what the artist thinks of them and their world. So it's a really interesting process.
Mm. It's good practice in self-promotion too, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that's...
It is. It is.
Yes, because that's the hardest thing, I think, for an awful lot of artists is actually
absolutely
the extension of that work, what goes on after the work in order to get it out there.
Yes,
what
Tom Wolfe called the painted word.
Mm.
Oh, okay. Yeah, of course.
I'm just looking at the map here. I'm a bit lost. I might have it upside down. Do you have any great recommendations, Margaret? Who's
well,
hot?
Look, I'd have to recommend there's a gallery called Art Boy in Greville Street. Now, they've got an exciting thing happening there where they have a trained virtual painter who will be creating artwork with this 3D virtual painting system.
I've had a go at it, actually.
I had a go at it last week, and it is pretty amazing. I think it appeals not just to an art audience or the general public, but can I just say it, the nerds among us will love it. it really is quite amazing. So you will get to have a turn at putting on the virtual equipment, like the sort of helmet thing that you wear that takes you into that 3D world. And so you're actually then inside the painting, if that makes sense.
There'll be a lot of kids that will love that.
I know. So that's going to be a really, really good one.
And now there's a significant prize pool as well, isn't there?
There is. Our first prize has actually increased this year for 2016. It's increased to $5,000. So, we're kind of up the ante.
That's very exciting. And now there's a hub as well, which is Chapel on Chapel, I understand, and there's an exhibition in there that runs a little bit longer, I think, than the two weekends, doesn't it?
That's correct. Once all of these artworks are made and then finished and prepared for hanging, we are going to be hanging them in our annual Art Town exhibition, which kicks off on the 26th of April, and it runs through to the 14th of May. It's a great opportunity. The whole gallery, including the ground floor and the mezzanine space, will be chock-a-block full of Art Town. And that means every kind of installation possible. There'll be multimedia. There'll be lots of painting of various kinds. And as you said, some street art painting as well going down. The artworks are almost all available for purchase as well, so it's a great affordable art opportunity as well to see something that really resonates locally, been produced locally, and I think if you are looking for to add to what's on your walls, you could do a lot worse than go and have a look at what's on offer at Art Town. But certainly if you're going to Chapel Off Chapel for a performance, it's a great opportunity to see some art before or after, or if you're not, if you just wanted to take a stroll down to the area, you can go on Chapel Off Chapel website for opening times, but they're open a lot. And they're open over the weekends as well.
It's an amazing initiative, good on Chapel Street precinct, I say. Yes, there's a website that people can visit, I think, which is www.arttown.com.au.
Correct.
Fantastic. And you can find out a lot more information about that. It sounds really exciting. Thanks so much for talking to us today on the program, Margaret Koenig, and good luck with it. I hope we might see you down there.
Thank you. I hope so too.
Thanks, Margaret. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Margaret.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Team Elder, Cliff Ellen, has arrived to bestow upon us the benefits of his wisdom this morning and a view from the cliff once again. Good morning, Cliff.
Good morning, Sally. Good morning, Johnny.
Good morning, Cliff.
Where's John?
Still away. He's just... Oh, no, what a blag is he? I know.
We'll question him when he gets back.
Yeah, apparently he'll be back next week.
Sorry, Cliff, I didn't have your microphone on. That's better.
Oh.
No, we heard you anyway because of your stentorian voice.
Is that right? You didn't hear my voice.
No, we heard because you're a trained actor.
Yeah.
We heard you up
you
in the
gods.
Just
didn't have your mic up.
Easter has gone, and so we've got closure. I love that word. Do you like that word, closure?
Closure.
Oh, man.
Sounds
got
a little
that
bit...
until Cup Day.
Yeah. It sounds a little bit like the council speak, you know, where they make you close.
Can I correct
the closure of an event.
Yeah, don't we have Anzac Day in between? Isn't there a bit of a
that's
blip?
Just one day, isn't it? I wouldn't worry about that.
All right.
The big crowds have gone, and it's good, and Easter's over. I discovered a couple of things. Apparently, if you have too much chocolate, it upsets a memory function on your brain.
Really?
And I also discovered that people who eat chocolate get to the service station faster than people who don't eat chocolate. How about these little gems of information?
What sort of information? That is, I cannot understand.
And I also,
I'm sorry, it was on the ABC.
They get to the service station quicker.
I don't know what people do these studies.
I also read that if you eat chocolate, you get fat.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. There's a lot of sugar in it.
I've also heard that chocolate's not so good for dogs.
Really?
No.
Well, I think I might come in with a quote every week from
Please.
Now on.
Oh, yes.
You have all this heavy stuff leading up to me.
Yeah.
And then I come here and it's
Margaret,
a bit of a letdown.
Margaret was just a
it's the fun bit.
A lovely, pleasant walk through Paran, an art tour. That wasn't that heavy.
Yeah, oh, well, it's a long time since I've been to Paran and Chapel Street. I've been half my life down there. The Green Room Award.
Yes, of course. Oh.
Sorry about
Pick
that.
Pick that up, would you?
I've got a cop. Theatre Companies Division, the biggest winner was Malthouse Theatre's I Am a Miracle. Mm-hmm. Best Writing for the Australian Stage, Declan Green, and Best Female Actor, Melita Jurasic, which earned 5 wins, including Best Production. In the Independent Theatre category, 4 places, including Best Production and Writing, went to Dee and Cornelius's Shit. Those shows were good.
Well, that was an amazing show. It really was. I saw that as part of the Neon Festival, actually.
Yeah, it was a highlight.
It was a remounting. Yes, it was a highlight of
last year's Neon Festival. You're quite right. And soon to have a second production downstairs at 45.
I want to go and see it again.
45 downstairs, yeah.
Cliff, you had me reaching for the oops button when you said that word.
What shit?
No, wasn't there another one of La Mama, I think, called something like that?
Yeah.
Bottom.
Ben Prendergast got the Best Actor, and he's from Red Stitch. I forget the play.
Oh.
Yeah. Circus Oz also got something, and Malcolm Robertson got a Lifetime Achievement Award, and also the beautiful Mary Lou Gelbart got a big award too.
Yeah.
Because she does a lot of work for theatre. Just one word on Marta Dusseldorp.
Yes, her new series.
The queen of Australian TV.
Oh.
God.
What?
Not in my opinion, but no. Good luck to them.
Sorry, I've just got... Who is it? I've never seen...
She's Janet King in that series.
Yeah, they've just started the second series of Janet King. If you watch the first episode, it was sort of like a travelogue of Sydney.
Right.
And very little else going on.
Yeah.
But I'm advised it gets better. So
I love how you just get Sydney in the ribs every time.
But that role came out of another series, didn't it?
Yes, I can't remember
what the very first one was called.
She was married to a woman. No,
that's right,
living
yes.
with a woman. The woman had died, apparently. So she's on her own now. But she's got a couple of little kiddies there floating around. Where they came from, I have no idea.
Right.
But...
We've got to have a little chat, Cliff.
Marta, well, she played second fiddle to the very classy Claudia Carvan in that episode of Jack Irish.
Right.
Right.
I like Claudia.
What have we got? Do you want me to keep talking?
Yeah, if you like.
Yeah, what have you been doing?
Arts Peak co-convener Tamara Winnikoff and Nicole Bayer have signed an open letter warning of the imminent loss of vital arts and cultural infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
Funding cutbacks and possible closure loom for more than 140 artistic companies. In May, when the Australia Council announces the 4-year operational grants for small to medium arts organisations. According to Bayer, Director of Theatre Network Australia, Winnicott believes up to half may lose their operational funding.
We're just going into the dark age, I have to say.
Well, it may not be.
I've
got a feeling they'll come good. But there's a lot of you know, arguing going on the internet about the lower classes of arts people losing out on the funding cutbacks. And it's always worthwhile just saying a few words about it. You know, there's nothing much we can do. Mm. But I still got a hint that Mighty Malcolm, as mm-hmm. I call him, the Mirage Prime Minister, might give us a little bit more money back. That's just
I
my
do
opinion.
Hope so, yes.
You don't think there's plenty of art about already?
Well, I'm
there
talking
might be
about
too
all
much.
The little...
honestly, like...
this is the last time you're going to get the microphone on, if that's
I know,
the kind
I realize
of stuff
I'm
we're
an
going
art
to hear
show,
out of your mouth.
Isn't it like survival of the fittest?
You're sounding like a philistine.
Yeah, he is, isn't he?
Yeah.
All right.
BBC Proms at the Arts Centre, 13th to 16th of April. A mention only because it's sure to be heavily booked. In fact, I understand the last night for the Proms is already booked out, in case you like that stuff. A lot of the people from the old England.
Yeah, I love the Proms.
Oh, yes. I've been to the Proms, the actual Proms in the Albert Hall.
Yeah.
Yeah, my wife used to love it.
They put it on the ABC every year. You can hear it.
We used to take blankets and sit on the balconies way, way up in the gods and just listen to the music from way down there.
Yeah, it's quite
from way up there.
It's very jolly.
Yeah. Yes.
In the Albert Hall. Blankets in the Albert Hall. Can you believe that?
Yeah, dirty.
One mention of the comedy festival for Lynn Ruth Miller, who's about 180 years old. She's the oldest lady there, and she was a regular at the Edinburgh Festival and a former winner of the Cabaret Award. This is Your Future, it's called. It's at the Butterfly Club until April 17th.
Oh.
She's 82 years old, so
God,
we have a plug for the octogenarian.
This is Your Future, is it?
No,
at the Butterfly Club.
It got a fairly good write-up. It's too far away for me. Yeah. I wouldn't know the Butterfly Club. I've never heard of it.
No.
Oh. What? Are you joking? It used to be that fabulous little house in Dorcas Street in South Melbourne, but it has moved. And actually, I'm not exactly sure of its new address because I haven't been to the new place.
What,
but
the old Ant Hill or somewhere like that? Near there?
Yeah, it's moved
near
to Red.
There. It was across the road from the Ant Hill.
It's moved to Red Hill. It's called Moth now.
Oh, it's not. Stop it.
Before the Red Hill, Velvet.
A lapidary.
Five stars with Marcia Hines.
Yes.
Yeah, that's all I've got to say.
It's cool.
Okay. I've heard terrible things about Velvet, by the way.
It got five stars.
Oh, did it? Well, I've had people who've gone and seen it who haven't liked it. However, I know, that's
Velvet's
what I thought, and you said yesterday it was going to be
really interesting.
Yes. Yeah.
But I better not tell you why.
No, okay. And Cliffy, what are you going to do for the rest of the afternoon?
I'm going to go home and look up quotes so I can come along next week and each proceeding
okay.
week and say something intelligent.
And lay one on me. Hey, listen, man, what do you want to listen to? Can I give you a hint?
Yeah. Well, I want something quiet today. Something good by the famous Dave Brubeck.
This is fantastic. Take five.
I like it. Goodbye, ladies. Thanks for not coming in again, John.
Yeah, John. Yeah, don't take any more fives, John. See you, Cliff.
Bye.
Bye, Cliff.
Pleasure.
It's time for the news.
It's time for the news. It's time for Rosalind Russell and Cary Grant to get that front page out.
Yes. Now, Art Town is on in Paran. Opened yesterday, on again next weekend. Exhibition at Chapel on Chapel. There's an art map to go and have a look at.
Yes,
you should
see
have a look at
their
website, arttown.com.au.
It'll be blowing up in my face in
Greville
Street.
Yes, of course it will.
Yes.
There's a teen dance party at the NGV, Swanee.
Yeah, well.
On the 7th of April.
I won't be allowed in because they'll call me one of those, what do they call them?
Old people.
You're
yes, it's got drop-in workshops with Melbourne artist Esther Olsen, live performances by Ella Thompson and Left Leg Studios, beats by G. So they've got a DJ, they've got an art party in the Great Room, and it's for under 18s. After hours access to Andy Warhol and Ai Weiwei for the kids. So I think that's a good thing for the holidays.
Mike Nichols exhibition called The Sea is on at the Merrick's General Store Art Gallery until April 25.
Yeah, we talked to him last week. The McClellan Sculpture Park and Gallery have new exhibitions on. The McClellan Collection, David Gent's Sculpture and Jackie Stocktail.
They've always got stuff on.
Of course they have. They're a really vibrant, extraordinary institution. We should all be very grateful we've got them there.
I'm grateful.
The Sculpture Biennale finishes today. If you haven't seen it, you've missed it.
Oh, I might have missed that one.
Yeah. John's exhibition is still on up at Art House Gallery in Sydney.
Yeah.
I didn't ask him how many dots he had.
Oh, he gets quite a few these days.
Yeah.
He's living the high life.
Frankston Theatre Company have their production of The Odd Couple opening at Mount Eliza Community Centre. It's a female version. Yes. Oh, you know that one, don't you? Swanee. So go to their website, frankstontheatregroup.org.au, for some more info.
You do that. Fringe Hub Expressions of Interest are open. What does that mean, Sally?
It means that if you are interested in putting in a show to the Fringe Festival this year, and the Expressions of Interest are open now, you can put in your suggestions. You should go to the Fringe website and have a look. They're open from the 4th to the 25th, and that's to be a member to go into the Hub, which is the Melbourne Town, the North Melbourne Town Hall. But you can also register just to be part of the Fringe, which could be in any other venues, and that goes on until May. So go to the website and have a look if you're a budding performer with a performance.
Yeah, register.
Like,
why don't you?
Now, everybody, if you've just tuned in, you've missed Arts About yet again. But you can catch up with the show via podcast, which apparently they are now putting up on the website again. I think it'll go to the website sometime during the day tomorrow. Or the show repeats on Wednesdays at 12. You'll find a link to our Facebook page on the RPP website. So join us again next Sunday at 11 for a little bit of fun. And remember, everybody, we may not know everything about art,
but at least we know what we like.
We do, Swanee. We really do.
Wah, wah. Here's that tune.